opening this week at Coeur d'Alene Summer Theater is the Million Dollar Quartet. Opens this Thursday and runs Thursday through Sunday, and then the following 2 weeks, Wednesday through Sunday, Jed Davis, the director of Coeur d'Alene Summer Theater. Did you just kind of happen to have four guys around and needed to do something with
them?
Yeah,
we were just getting bored. We thought, let's jam.
Yeah.
Now, Million Dollar Quartet is actually, it's a really well-constructed jukebox musical, and we've and Matt can go into more detail about that, Matt Wolf, our director, about the nature of jukebox musical being kind of a dirty word a bit in theater circles. Like, no, it's theater. We don't want to do a jukebox show. But it's been tied together in such a nice fashion that it is a really fun story with these wonderful songs that we all that are just sort of in our blood. So it was when the rights became available, it was sort of a no-brainer for us to try and grab it.
And so Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, and
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis are the Million Dollar Quartet. So to you, Matt Wolf, talk about what holds this show together.
Well, it's actually a fifth guy that you probably don't know is in the show. It's Sam Phillips, the founder of Sun Records of Memphis.
Okay.
Yeah. And for people that don't know, Sam Phillips, his story is really, he's an American hero as far as I'm concerned. He found these boys, these just normal, simple country boys, gave them a chance to be heard, and it transformed the landscape of the whole world from a little studio that's no bigger than a small retail shop or a garage. It's an incredible story.
Now, when you say you're a hero, do you have a particular love? Did you all grow up on all these tunes yourself?
I actually fell in love with this for myself, playing Sam Phillips in this production at Village Theater in Seattle, which was part of its Broadway development. So I got to help be one of the early guys in playing the role. So I really fell in love with him and this music. But the thing that, for me, there's like two great all-American themes in this show. It's that every voice matters, which was really important to him, and that one person can make a difference, one person with a vision. And before these country boys, he was giving a lot of African-American blues artists the chance to record in the Deep South, which was a pretty phenomenal thing as well. So he had a long track record. Later in his life, he created the first all-female DJ'd radio station. Mm-hmm. So he was always just looking out for who doesn't have a voice, who needs to be heard, and made a huge difference that way.
Matt Wolf, who's the director of this show, Million Dollar Quartet. Let's go into the studio and ask Jerry Lee Lewis to be the first voice coming upon us.
Well, I'm just out of school, I'm a real, real cool. Gonna jump, gonna jive, got the message, I'm alive, cause I'm a wild one. Yeah, I'm a wild one. Gonna keep it shaking, gonna keep it moving, baby. Don't you cramp my style, well, I'm a real wild child. Come on, baby, shake it for me all night long. Shake it till the meat comes off of the bone, cause I'm a wild one. Yeah, I'm a wild one. Gonna keep it shaking, gonna keep it moving, baby. Don't you cramp my style, well, I'm a real wild child. Gonna keep it moving till the sun goes down. After dark, old Jerry Lee can get around. Gonna move, gonna make every hop, but when you get to bopper, no, you sure can't stop, cause I'm a wild one, yeah, I'm a wild one. Gonna keep it shaking, gonna keep it moving, baby, don't you cramp my style, well, I'm a real wild child, real wild child, I'm a real wild child, real wild child, I'm a real wild child. Yeah, I'm a wild one, baby, hey.
Henry McNulty as our real wild child in the role of Jerry Lee Lewis, and no piano keys were harmed in the singing of that song. That always matters. So yeah, Henry, let's bring Henry in, and Okay, Henry, this is pretty great to see, to encounter you as the real wild child, because I think Coeur d'Alene Summer Theater must have a phone booth or something where the mild-mannered Henry McNulty, who's just holding it together as music director and being the really competent pianist and do all that, suddenly bursts out. Is this a dream come true for you?
It's definitely an exciting change.
Yeah.
It's not something that I ever expected to do. So when the opportunity suddenly appeared, I believe I asked for the auditions, what they wanted to see, and the message that I got back that was that Jad wanted to see me channel Jerry Lee Lewis, and that was a unique challenge.
Mm-hmm. So how did you go about channeling Jerry Lee Lewis?
Well, I think it's been a gradual process for me. Mm-hmm. Actually, I did the best that I could at the mm-hmm. for the audition, mm-hmm. but it's all about the energy level and trying to work up to where Jerry Lee's resting energy is, which is mm-hmm. significantly higher than where mine is. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Well, even before you got into the studio on the mic, I was making the usual wisecrack about the foot on the keyboard, and that just kind of represented that he just wanted to do everything possible, didn't it, to make that energy happen?
Yes, very much a showman, and and very much no holds barred.
Yeah, and back to the director Matt Wolf. There's throughout this next 20 minutes, we're going to encounter these characters in the way we kind of know them publicly, but I assume there's aspects about this show by which we see other sides of them, by which we get some of their personality, that we see Jerry Lewis as more than this crazy guy banging his heel on the keyboard.
Mm-hmm. The magic of the show is that you get to meet these guys in their early days. So before the cliches, before the misconceptions about who they were, this is them right in their early years, surprised at their own success. And actually, you catch Jerry Lee really early career. He's still a backup player for Carl Perkins when he starts the show. And there are. You get one of the most fascinating things about Jerry Lewis is he came from this really strict religious upbringing and was just forever torn about the fact that he was playing rock and roll, believed he would go to hell for playing it, but couldn't stop. And it's just this beautiful dichotomy that he's got to live with. And that comes out in the show. So you do get a lot of these little tidbits about who these guys were.
Well, let's move on to Elvis, because I want to make sure that we kind of get everybody right in front of us before we have too many more discussions. And the role of Elvis Presley is Jeff Rowden, and he has a pretty famous Elvis song for us. So let's go right back to the studio for that in just a moment.
That's all right now, Mama, anyway.
from the studio that was Elvis, of course it was Elvis, That's All Right, sung by Jeff Rowden in that role. A Million Dollar Quartet, which opens tomorrow night at Coeur d'Alene Summer Theater and runs for 3 weekends. And so, Elvis, isn't that an awfully intimidating thing to you know, with all of the Elvis imitators in the world and Elvis's fixture, Elvis's Madame Tussauds wax character and everything else to somehow have to be Elvis?
Yeah, it is. And that's actually one of the things I really loved about this production specifically is that they, right out of the gate, they said we didn't want any impersonators, no gimmicks, nothing like that. We want the real...
A person.
Real Elvis. Yeah, the real person of Elvis. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important, especially with him, because I think a lot of people remember the caricature of him instead of the honest Southern boy, you know?
Well, you know, that's always important, I think, in casting, that you don't try too hard to make something look right. I was seeing on late night TV the Selma movie from a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and LBJ didn't look much like LBJ, but was LBJ in that manifestation, and that's really great casting to do that. So I assume what's more important is the music, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and really, like, the passion and the fire behind the music, because I think what's really important about this story is that it's the first time that these Southern boys got a chance to be in front of a microphone, got to share what is inside them that no one else has done before. And Sam, the show is really the story of Sam, and it's how he brought it out of these kids without with that, like, Southern repression where they can't really feel like they can talk about anything or express in a way that won't get them in trouble. And I think that they just didn't care about getting in trouble. This is who they were.
And back to you, Matt, the director who has played Sam Phillips. You illuminated the other side of Jerry Lee Lewis. What do you want to say about the other side of Elvis that threw it for all the caricature comes out differently in this play than anywhere else?
Well, this moment that he was just playing, when it's fully fleshed out in the context of the show, is really thrilling, because what you get is these little flashbacks of all these guys. I call them their secret origin superhero stories. And you find out, and you find out that Elvis was really shy and quiet and really pretty boring the first time that he was in the studio. And it took Sam Phillips interacting with him. And there's a line in there where Sam says, "Look me in the eye, boy. I know who you are. Just show me your soul." And these are based off of real moments that all the guys have sort of accounted over the years. They say when Sam Phillips walked in a room, you could feel the molecules shifting. And that's how much of a presence he was, and how much of a sense of mission and purpose he had.
Over what time span does this play go?
Well, that's what, you know, and actually back to the jukebox thing that Jad was talking about earlier, a lot of jukebox musicals get criticized because they try and fit someone's whole life into like 90 minutes or 2 hours. This whole play happens on December 4th, 1956, which was a real night where all these guys came together into the recording studio. So another bit of the magic is you get this sort of just natural intersection of lives. This is just a place where these amazing legends met, interacted, and they all went home. But that night was really magical.
Well, let's put all four of the guys together. Let's send you back out there, wow. Elvis, because I think another issue of this whole thing musically is that, yes, there were the songs they wrote. Yes, there was the new music that was created. But as you've already alluded, it was based on strong, strong Southern musical traditions of the church and the people and all that.
Mm-hmm. You know, if people want to look it up, you can listen. It's widely available as the original recording of Million Dollar Quartet. And it's fascinating. You hear these guys, first of all, just noodling around and jamming. But about 50% of the music they did that night was all gospel. Because for these four guys never having met in one room, that was their common language that they really came together around, which is what we're going to do here.
Let's hear one of those tunes right now, our whole quartet together in the studio.
Ain't it gonna study war no more? Ain't it gonna study war no more? Ain't it gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Down by the riverside, down by the riverside.
Tell me where.
Down by the riverside,
I'm gonna lay down everywhere. My soul and cheer.
Down by the riverside, ain't gonna study war no more. Well, ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more.
There we go, down by the riverside with the Million Dollar Quartet, this show which opens this week and runs for 3 weeks, based on the coming together of four very famous people who became famous in the music world: Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, and Jerry Lee Lewis. Now they're all crashed into the room, and so we're going to try to do it. Let's bring in the people that we haven't talked to yet. Johnny Cash. That's played by Michael Feldman. We've been having discussions, which you couldn't hear in the other room, but it kind of has centers around the idea of who is the Johnny Cash we don't know? What's the other side of Johnny Cash beyond what the public persona is? What do you have to say about your character?
Well, I think that Johnny Cash is an interesting guy because he, unlike so many sort of pop or rock or mainstream artists, was very interested in, we've talked about a lot of giving voice to the voiceless and singing songs to people that weren't being represented in mainstream culture, mm-hmm. in the music industry at that point, mm-hmm. in time, and songs like Folsom Prison Blues and 16 Tons, which was a cover, but still really spoke to the lower middle class of America, and striking and tapping into, you know, a wide base of people that weren't being represented or weren't being talked to, or really record companies and radio stations weren't seeking those people out. And he was sort of the first like guy to sing about, you know, really, mm-hmm. really like dark themes and undertones and like talking about, mm-hmm. just how tough life can be and how hard you have to be to make it through life, because at that point, it was all these guys grew up dirt poor, including
Johnny Cash.
Oh yeah, I mean, working in the cotton fields, picking cotton, and doing what you can to get by. And I think Sam has a great line on the show. It's like, I never heard a rich man make a record worth a damn, and it's true, you know, because this music really is celebrated because the people that do it well understand how hard life is, so they really can enjoy and let go in the music. And I think that comes through in this show with everybody. Everybody in the cast has a beautiful freedom and letting go and just relaxing into the music and letting the music fill our hearts and souls. And I think that's what the most exciting and fun thing is about this show and about this music, is because we get to tap back in to that to that music, and the people that are going to come see the show, like, they grew up with this music and they know it, and it's going to be great for them, because it's honestly like we time travel. We go back in time, and I think it's great to see the audience go, oh my gosh, this is my music. Yeah. How do people remember my music? So it's very full circle for us.
Time travel, December 4th, 1956.
That's right.
And let's bring in the remaining one, Carl Perkins, played by Matt McClure. Now, even before we bring you in, wasn't Carl Perkins of a slightly older generation, or was he contemporary with these other three people?
He's pretty contemporary of age.
Yeah. Okay. And experience, was he at the same... I don't know why I think of Carl Perkins as an elder.
Well, you know, he's also one of the fathers of all this stuff. I mean, he actually wrote Blue Suede Shoes, which is considered one of the first rockabilly rock and roll songs ever. And he'll tell you more about that in a minute. The reason they're all laughing when you said he was the last one is because he's the other one other than Sam Phillips most people don't know about.
Famously unfamous.
But rock and roll owes a huge amount to his history. I think he had a personality that read maybe a little older than the other guys. And he carried a weight of a sense of loss and failure in his life.
Well, Matt, kind of, you know, defend yourself. As Carl Perkins on The Less Known, how do you feel about yourself?
About myself is a different story, but about Carl Perkins, I mean, he definitely held his own with the other three, and like they were saying, like he was the father of rockabilly, and the Beatles even said, like, without Carl Perkins, there would be no Beatles. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a lot of, he was the writer for a lot of songs for a lot of rockabilly artists and for Johnny Cash and that kind of stuff. But he was mainstream with all of them at the time. He and Johnny kind of came up at the same time and going in to meet Sam Phillips and all that. And
what is the thing? You're the Triple Crown?
Triple Crown winner, first on the pop, country,
and
blues charts. Mm-hmm. And even with his, like with Carl's version of Blue Suede Shoes, it was number one at the top of the charts. And even though Elvis Presley like made it famous, I think it was number 20. It never got past 20 and that kind of stuff. And so I do think Carl's very an unknown, unsung hero.
Then what we're going to do to go out, we're going to sing this hero. And so I think we'll send you, the four of you, send you all back to sing Blue Suede Shoes with the Million Dollar Quartet. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is Million Dollar Quartet, which opens tomorrow night, runs Thursday through Sunday this week, and then Thursday through Sunday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the remaining 2 weeks.
Through Sunday, the remaining 2 weeks.
Oh, the longer run, of course. Wednesday through Sunday, the longer run, the remaining 2 weeks at Coeur d'Alene Summit Theater, which takes place at the Kroc Center. So as soon as, let me figure out a couple microphones here the way we're going to need to do it. I think we'll be okay. Let's go for it. This is Blue Suede Shoes.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready.
My go cat go,
but don't you step on my blue suede shoes.
Well,
you can do anything to lay off of my blue suede shoes.
Well, you can knock me down, step on my face, slander my name all over the place.
Do anything that you wanna do, but I'll honey lay off of my shoes.
But don't you
step on my blue suede shoes.
Well,
you can do anything to lay off of my blue suede.
Blue Suede Shoes from the Million Dollar Quartet. They open tomorrow night, then it's Wednesday through Sunday, the remaining 2 weeks. People have been involved, the director Matt Wolf, and then the actors here, Michael Feldman, Jeff Rowden, Matt McClure, and Henry McNulty. Also, the music director for this show is Rob Peterson, and then we had some time with the director of Coeur d'Alene Summer Theater, Jad Davis. So that's what's going along there. Thanks, everybody, for that.
Thank you.